Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 114 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. We got a jam-packed show for everybody today. I'm looking forward to jumping straight into it, and we'll start the show off the same way we do every week, and that's by starting off with the breakdown. The breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's. O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. So we'll go ahead and start the breakdown by talking about some American Raptors news. So if you've been following along, the American Raptors put a 78-10 beat down on Seattle Rugby Club last Saturday at Infinity Park. Daytwon Sheridan scored three tries in the win. Daytwon's a guy that just kind of keeps getting better and better. Been a fun player to watch, has a really bright future. It's been fun to just kind of see him progress from where he kind of started last spring. He was a guy that came in here with a little bit of rugby experience. If you listen to the interview I did with Daytwon on the podcast about, 8 months ago, you'll know that. He came in with a little bit of rugby experience, but he just kept progressing and progressing. He really lit it up in the Rugby Town Sevens tournament. I thought he was one of the better players on the XO team, and he continues to light it up as the American Raptors continue to keep playing matches, and he's been a centerpiece of it all, so he's been fun to watch. The American Raptors are back in action this weekend against their old foes, the Hartford Harpooners. If you remember, the Harpooners beat the XOs back in May at Infinity Park. The XOs started that match super slow, ended up making a late push, and Line Latu ended up scoring a try right at the buzzer, but his conversion rattled off the upright, and the Harpooners ended up winning that match by 1 point. So you got to know both that, the result of that match is still fresh in both of those teams' minds. I think it should be a pretty good one. It's free to attend on the turf at Infinity Park, and kickoff is at 2 p.m., so if you can't make it, you can stream the match on AmericanRaptors.com, and that's on Saturday, October 9th. So by the time you're listening to this, it'll be tomorrow. So that kind of does it for the Raptors update. Not really a whole lot else to talk about. They really do seem to be looking a lot better. I tweeted something like this last week, too, and I guess this is a good time to talk about it on the podcast, but like, I've been very impressed with how the Raptors have looked through these first couple of matches so far. And I know they're not playing like the top competition, but the performances they put forth in the matches that they have played have been very impressive. And it's been guys that are just learning the game. Like, when you look at some of the experienced guys on the team, of course you have your Don McKinas, you have your Aaron Matthews, you have your Campbell Johnstones, you have your Max Dacys, you have the guys that have played rugby for literally their whole life. But when you look at the other guys, like even the other guys on the team that have been playing since January look so good. They don't look like they've been playing since January. They look like they've been playing for a few years now, not a few months. And some of the new guys that they brought in too are already contributing, making big plays. Otto Zaccardo, a guy I talked about last week. Every time I've watched a match, he scores a try super fast. Just guys like that. Nolan Saracini, another podcast guest we've had on a couple weeks ago, and a guy I talked about in the mailbag episode last week too. But like, he's running the show so well at nine. You wouldn't have guessed that he's only been playing for, you know, a few months, honestly, like 2 months. So I've been very impressed with what I've seen so far. And I put a little tweet out about, like I said a little bit ago, but I've just been very impressed with it all. And I'm acknowledging that there are high caliber rugby players that I'm sure are facilitating this growth, but I think that's a good thing. That's kind of what they were lacking a little bit back in the spring, is they only had a couple of guys. They needed a couple of more. And it seems to be paying dividends so far. I'm looking forward to seeing, like, as we get a little bit closer to MLR and some of these signings come up, I would not be surprised if a lot of these guys end up getting poached to go play on an MLR side in the springtime. So it'll be fun to keep an eye on. Like I said a million times already, I've been very impressed. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend you come watch a match, stream a match, something. Just kind of try to take in what these guys are doing, because it's pretty impressive. So go ahead and move into the next part of the breakdown, talk about some USA rugby news. So the men's 15s team defeated Uruguay 19-16 at Infinity Park last Saturday, and I'm sure that was a little closer than the Eagles would have liked it to be. Uruguay scored and hit a conversion in the 78th minute to make the score line a little bit closer, which obviously in these like aggregate matches, these combined score matches, like that's very important that they only have a 3-point deficit to make up. So if Uruguay wins, beats USA in Uruguay this weekend by more than 3 points, so they win the series. So now, like I said, USA's down in Montevideo for the second match of the series. If USA wins, they confirm their place in Pool A for the 2023 Rugby World Cup. You can watch that match on flowrugby.com. I'll talk more about it when we get to all the rugby that you can watch this weekend. And finally, in the USA rugby news of part of this breakdown, you have the chance to catch a women's 15s team in action at Infinity Park in a couple of weeks, as USA Rugby announced that tickets are now on sale for the women's 15s matches against Canada on November 1st and November 5th. So that'll be fun to watch those matches as well. So I guess that does it for the breakdown. We'll go ahead and jump into all of the rugby you can watch this weekend. And again, we have a full slate, which is cool to see. So I'll go ahead and start with the American Raptors versus the Hartford Harpooners that I just got done talking about. That's on Saturday at 2 p.m. on the turf at Infinity Park. Watch on AmericanRaptors.com if you can't make it out. But if you are coming to the match, it's free. Shoot me a DM. I'll come say what's up if you're interested. So we'll go ahead and talk about the USA Rugby versus Uruguay is the next match on my list. Saturday at 1:30 p.m. That one is on Flow Rugby. So you're going to have to, I guess you're going to have to choose. Do you want to watch USA Rugby? You want to come watch the American Raptors? I'll leave that decision up to you. I will be at the Raptors match. We'll have to catch up with what happens with USA Rugby later. Premier Rugby Sevens is this weekend. I'm very interested in this. I'm going to keep a close eye on seeing how it does. I hope it works out. It has good bones. It seems like there's a good idea behind it. So we're just going to have to see how it's executed and what the next move is moving forward. But you can watch that on foxsports.com and the Fox Sports app starting at 8 a.m. Mountain Time to 2 p.m. Mountain Time. Then at 2 p.m., coverage will shift over to Fox Sports 2 for the men's and women's consolation finals and the men's and women's finals. So we're going to see that on TV. Looking forward to seeing that one. Like I was just saying, it's going to be something I'm keeping a close eye on throughout the day. Moving over to some college rugby, we got a couple of matches. Mount St. Mary's versus Dartmouth on Saturday at 9 a.m. and then Brown versus Harvard on Saturday at 10 a.m. You can watch both of those matches on ESPN+. We've got the Allianz Premier 15s back in action this weekend. We've got Harlequins women versus Bristol Bears women on Saturday at 8 a.m. We've got Loughborough Lightning versus Worcester Warriors women on Saturday at 9 a.m. Got DMP Durham Sharks versus Sale Sharks women on Saturday at 11 a.m. We've got Saracens women versus Exeter Chiefs women on Sunday at 7 a.m. We've got Wasps FC ladies versus Gloucester Hart Prairie women's RFC on Sunday at 12:15 p.m. And you can watch all of those matches on Premier15s.com. And I highly recommend you do, because there's a ton of American women tearing it up over there in that competition right now. So we got to go out and support them. Got some Premiership rugby rolling this weekend as well. We've got Harlequins versus Bristol Bears on Friday at 12:45 p.m. We've got London Irish versus Leicester on Saturday at 8 a.m. We've got Gloucester versus Sale Sharks on Saturday at 8 a.m. We've got Exeter Chiefs versus Worcester Warriors on Saturday at 8 a.m. We've got Saracens versus Newcastle on Saturday at 8 a.m. And then we have Wasps versus Northampton on Sunday at 8 a.m. Watch all of those matches on Peacock. And then we've got the United Rugby Championship. We've got Ospreys versus Sharks on Friday at 12:35 p.m. We've got Ulster versus Benetton on Friday at 12:35 p.m. We've got Leinster versus Zebre on Saturday at 6 a.m. We've got Glasgow Warriors versus Lions on Saturday at 8:05 a.m. We've got Connacht versus Dragons on Saturday at 10:15 a.m. We've got Edinburgh versus Stormers on Saturday at 10:15 a.m. Cardiff Blues versus the Bulls on Saturday at 12:35 p.m. And we got Scarlets versus Munster on Sunday at 7 a.m. And you can watch all of those matches on URC TV. Now we'll go ahead and jump into the interview portion of the show. We got two interviews today. I'm excited about both of these. Before I get to the interviews, I wanted to tell you that these interviews are brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouth guard revolution with American-made mouth guards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. So we got two interviews, like I was just saying. I'm excited about both of them. Our first interview of the episode is with American Raptors wing Dakota Dixon. Dakota is one of a kind. His story is very literally nothing short of amazing. It's a pleasure chatting with him. We talk a little bit about his football career, his childhood, his time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers up to last year, and just kind of how he got into rugby and how he's enjoying it thus far. So with that introduction, we'll go ahead and kick it to my conversation with American Raptors wing Dakota Dixon. All right, now welcome on American Raptors wing Dakota Dixon to the show. Dakota, how's it going, man?
I'm going well. Everything is going well, man.
That's good to hear. Thank you so much for taking the time to come join me. I've been looking forward to having you on. When we had Nolan on a couple of weeks ago, I asked him who he thought we should have on next, and you were the first name he threw out, so I'm glad that we got it organized. So.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so look forward to talking to you. And I guess the first question, Dakota, I ask everybody that comes on the show, just can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Originally, I'm from Miami, Florida. Mm-hmm. I moved to a small town called Daytona Beach, really a small town south of Daytona Beach called Oak Hill, Florida. Mm-hmm. And I was raised there the majority of my life. So,
yeah. And I know just doing some research on you, you've had an amazing life thus far. Your backstory is really an amazing one. So can you kind of talk a little bit about why you moved?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, growing up in Miami, things weren't always, a picnic, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, right. I should say. But we lived in, you know, an impoverished area, you know how it is, crime and things like that. And I was fortunate, you know, to live with my dad. I actually ended up going to foster care. Mm-hmm. My brother went to prison. He shot someone in law enforcement, and it gave incentive for a SWAT team to break into our house, and they discovered our living conditions. Mm. And so when they seen our living conditions, that obviously got DCF or Child Protective Services involved, and my siblings and I were all kind of split up, and we ended up going to foster care. Mm-hmm. And then by the grace of God, I was able to move with my dad and begin a relationship with him and my awesome. And my stepmother.
Yeah, so then did things get a little calmed down a little bit after that? You had a little bit more, you know, routine. Was that kind of how that went?
Yeah, a little bit. We got to celebrate Christmas and things like that. When we were younger, that wasn't something, you know, we did. So that was new for me. You know, we weren't rich or anything, but perspective, changes a lot on what rich actually really means.
And right.
So I felt like I was rich when I was young and we moved and things like that. So that was kind of fun. Things began to change a bit.
Yeah.
It began to change a bit.
That's good. And is that when you guess had a little bit more time and ability to focus on football?
Yeah, man. So my dad was a real big football guy, mm-hmm. if you will. I had an older brother who played for the Florida Gators, so
Oh, nice.
I had known about him. I didn't know him well. Yeah. He was much older than me. But obviously, I've taken a liking to the game of football. It was a place of relief for me, you know. And so I definitely tried to run with that.
Yeah. Were you playing organized football before that? I know in the couple of videos I watched that Wisconsin put out, you talked a little bit about playing like football in the park and doing pull-ups on that gazebo. So did you play organized football before that, or kind of when did you get involved into the organized football stuff?
Oh, man, when I was in Miami, I got involved in football. Oh,
yeah. You played football forever.
I was playing football my whole life.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it necessarily. I just did it because it was fun.
Yeah.
Like any kid, right?
Right, for sure.
So I started at a young age.
That's cool. So I guess can you kind of take us through your football career then? So where did you end up playing high school football? And I guess when did college become a real possibility for you?
Yeah. Man, honestly, I knew when I was in Pop Warner what I wanted to do. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. You know, how I grew up and what I seen, I knew what I didn't want to do.
Exactly. Right?
I knew what I didn't want to be. And so I knew football was my chance, you know, to get out of that environment and, you know, change my life as well as, you know, my family potentially. And so when I was in Pop Warner, man, I knew I was going to play. I wanted to just play, you know, varsity, the top level. And I was able to do that. And when I was in high school, I got my first offer, I think, as a sophomore from a college school or whatever. And so when that happened, of course, you know, it became a reality, right? It went from a dream into a reality, right? And all of the hard work is paying off. And over time, things began to, you know, build. More schools start coming in and taking an interest and things like that. And so it was a real blessing, man. It was a real blessing. I actually, for 3 years, my shoulder was dislocated.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gave me even more motivation, as messed up as that it sounds a little bit. But we didn't have, you know, scholarships, money to go to school and things like that. And so it was nothing but opportunity I seen it as. And I think God just blessed me with the right people in my life to help me get there.
That's awesome, man. So then how did you decide on Wisconsin? Like, did you have was it between a couple other schools? Was Wisconsin in the run in there?
Yeah, actually, Wisconsin was not in the run.
Oh, really? So it just kind of came out of nowhere. Where were you going to go then?
I was actually going to go to Michigan State.
Mm. Still
Michigan
headed up
State
that way.
And Louisville were like my top two schools I was going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Coach Armstrong left and he went to Texas. And then, Louisville was still an option, but I just didn't really care.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, their coach, I really respected him, Coach Anderson, when he visited my home. And, so I figured why not give it a shot, you know?
Yeah.
And when I visited, I was in love with it, you know, and I knew right there when I had to go visit there.
That's awesome. How was the cold? Like, did you get used to the cold pretty quick?
No.
Yeah. Did you ever get used to the cold?
No.
Yeah.
No, I never. I mean, you do.
Yeah.
But who gets used to sub-zero temperatures,
it's
right?
It's different cold up there. Because, I mean, it gets cold here, but it's not like Wisconsin cold.
Exactly.
Up there,
so there's perspective, right? There's always perspective.
Yeah. I was asking Lina, too, because he's, from San Mateo, like another Northern California guy, and he played football at Eastern Michigan, and he was just like, I went there and I was like, the winters are just brutal. It's like heavy, you know, like humid, just like sits on you. Here it's like at least dry, so it's not, you know, it's not like down sinking into your bones cold. So how was your time at Wisconsin? Did you enjoy it there?
Yeah, man, I loved it. I love Wisconsin, man. Wisconsin was transformational for me as a person. It transformed me. I just in terms of the relationships I was able to build there, the opportunities I was able to develop and have. God really blessed me with some incredible people.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, he definitely blessed me, man. And so I loved it. I loved it. Despite it being negative 30 or negative 10 degrees, yeah. whatever it was, I definitely enjoyed it.
That's awesome. So when did you, I guess, like while you're at Wisconsin and you're playing and, you know, you're just kind of getting the feel of things, like when did you realize that going to the NFL was a real possibility?
I knew it was a possibility when I was a kid, mm-hmm. you know, just from work.
Interesting.
That's all I did. I just worked out.
Yeah.
Trained, you know, I knew what I wanted to do, you know?
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted to do. And so I didn't know, you know, what I would encounter in the process.
Yeah.
You know, but I knew that it was something that I wanted to pursue. Now, in terms of it becoming the reality, like the scholarships yeah. became a reality, I don't know when that actually yeah,
like,
took place.
Was there a moment yeah. when it's like, when you know, you get word maybe down the grapevine, like, oh, this team's like interested in you, or this team's coming to watch you? Like, maybe it was like at the pro day or something. Like, did you know you had a good workout or something like that, or just kind of happened?
No, actually, I did not do well in any of that. Well, I did okay in my pro day.
Yeah.
I did okay in my pro day. I didn't do well at the combine, honestly. But I don't know. I didn't think – I guess I didn't really know what I didn't know. I didn't understand what yeah. I didn't understand.
That's a good way to put it. That's
and
fair.
So I was just –
brand new stuff.
Yeah, right?
Right?
And I didn't really understand the process of, you know, how teams – I've heard things like, yeah – you know, priority free agent. I heard, you know, you could be projected mm-hmm. at this round or something like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, but at the end of the day, it's all talk. You really yeah. don't know until you get.
Yeah. I mean, because it's like, how do the people telling you know that too? You
yeah.
know? It's like,
right.
I don't know. That stuff always confuses me too.
Yeah, definitely.
But I wasn't in it. I just looked at it from afar. You were like right in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then how can you kind of explain the process of how you ended up in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, man. So that it's actually a testimony behind this. So when I went to Tampa, I first went to San Francisco.
Interesting.
I went
okay.
to the 49ers and I tried out. So on draft day, I thought I was going to be a priority free agent. This is what I was told right. and all this stuff. And
sure
none
that,
of that happened.
A lot of people say a lot of things during this whole thing, right?
Exactly, man. Exactly. So none of that happened. None of that happened at all. And, as I'm sitting here waiting, there was no phone calls. I didn't give a phone call from any teams.
What does that feel like? Sorry to cut you off in your story, but no. like, because you kind of don't know going in, like, okay, I'm maybe not going to get a call this first or second day, but like as it gets later, like, is that, what's that feel like? Like, are you waiting? Just, are you just sitting around by the phone? Are you watching TV? Are you like doing normal stuff? Or are you just like, oh, I got to go to the grocery store? Like, are you doing that stuff? Well, what's that like?
Oh, man, it's humbling. It's a lot of emotions, really. Yeah. You know, you happy because you see people that you play with.
Yeah,
and
I can
they're
imagine
drafted
you have a lot of friends
that
you played
like that.
Against, like acquaintances you made along
yeah.
the way, you know?
Like, actually, so I was at a friend of mine's house. I went to New Smyrna Beach High School. Mm-hmm. And this friend of mine, I'm still friends with him to this day. His name is Cole Holcomb. We played ball growing up. Literally from Little League, Pop Warner all the way through, right? He was one of my best friends in high school. And so, you know, we literally I was at his house for the draft and we were watching it together. He yeah. played at the University of North Carolina. Okay. He was a walk-on standout linebacker. And he ended up getting drafted in yeah. the fifth round, right? So I'm just like,
yeah, going
geeked,
nuts for him.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? I'm like super excited because this is my boy. I play ball with my whole life, and
yeah.
we've talked about this,
yeah.
right? And so I was super excited and happy for him. And honestly, it encouraged me and motivated me. Like, you know, whenever my opportunity comes, you know, I'm gonna just run with it. And mm-hmm. he supported me in that as well. And so it was a lot of emotions on that particular
That's
day.
Awesome. Yeah.
You know, because I'm not gonna lie, as a competitor, I was yeah. still upset, still frustrated. You know. Part of going to the NFL is being drafted, right?
Right.
And that was a goal I had. And so to me, it was just simply an invitation to a means to be met. And
yeah.
that opportunity came when my agent called me and said, hey, Dakota, the 49ers want to work you out. And so I went to their mini camp I worked out there, and I thought they were going to give me a contract mm-hmm. based on, you know, the performance. I felt like it was a really good day or a really good couple of days.
Yeah.
Guarding their draft picks and their, you know, guys returning players and things like that. And so I felt really confident based on the performance there. And that really gave me some encouragement because I'm like, well, maybe I can play. I can do this, you know.
Right.
And so sure enough, you know, that didn't work out, though. So it was just kind of like, dang, I don't. So that's the first reality check of business in the NFL right yeah. there. It's just different, you know. And so the following week, my agent calls me and tells me, you know, Tampa Bay wants to work you out and, you know, there's an opportunity. And so I end up going, working out and same thing, mini camp for a few days. And man, I did not even do as well as I did at the 49ers. So I'm like kind of frustrated with myself yeah. because I'm like, I need to make this undeniable that you have to sign me type thing. And I didn't feel like I accomplished yeah. my goal in doing that. And so, you know, by the grace of God, man, somehow, you know, they literally grabbed me in the locker room and I ended up going upstairs and I signed my first NFL contract. And so nice. it was a blessing, yeah. you know, it was a blessing.
What did that feel like? Did you get to like savor the moment? Cause that kind of sounds like maybe a little bit rushed. Like you just got done. They pull you up. Like
literally yeah. that's exactly what it felt really? Like. It felt like rushed.
You went in and they're like, hey, come here.
Yes. It just,
did you know that's what they're bringing you up for?
No, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on, but to be honest with you, man, that was just the beginning. Mm-hmm. That was just the beginning of, because once you get there, now it's camp. Now that's yeah. where you really, you know, earn a contract. That's where you really earn a chance to stay there for a season.
Yeah.
And so that was only the beginning.
Yeah. So how long were you there then? 2 years, is that right?
Year and a half. Almost okay. 2 years. Yeah.
So then I guess just like what I've had, like, obviously with the Crossover Project, I've had a chance to talk mm-hmm. to a lot of guys that played in the NFL, but even before, like, Zach Pounga, he used to play for the Raptors a few years ago. He's a UFC fighter now. He's like had a very interesting life. He went to camp with the Texans to play fullback, and I asked him like what the hardest part of the NFL was, and he had like a little bit different situation because he came in the lockout year, so he had no, like, he just was like, I went literally straight to camp, like I didn't yeah. know the playbook. I'm trying to learn how to play fullback, so I need to, you know, kind of know what tight ends do, kind of know what fullbacks
yep,
do.
Yeah.
So he's like, I was at a pretty big disadvantage just kind of going in, but he was like, I was not ready for football to become my job. Mm-hmm. He's like, I wasn't ready to wake up at, you know, 6 a.m. and whatever you do, you know,
yeah.
eat, you know, get stretched and then watch all this tape. And then after you've been at the facility for 12 hours, like, go home. Get in my playbook, like yep. learn two different positions and then go to sleep. And I'm getting, you know, seven hours
again.
Of sleep. And I get up in the morning. I do that literally every single day. He was like, that was kind of the biggest like reality check for me. He was like, I was not ready for football to become my job. So did you kind of feel the same way? I guess the question I'm trying to ask is like, what did you think the hardest like part of being in the NFL was?
I wouldn't say I felt the same way. You know, I had come from Wisconsin, and so we were pretty regimented there as well.
Yeah, big-time college football program. Yeah, so
it wasn't something that I wasn't used to. I had been well coached, you know, by a really good staff, Coach Leonard, Coach Chris was my head coach. I had come from a really good culture.
Yeah.
You know, so to be a pro, train like a pro, take care of yourself like a pro. That was something that was embedded in us in Wisconsin. So when I transitioned, you know, in Tampa, it wasn't really anything new other than the terminology.
Yeah.
Right? So plays are the same, yeah. you know, different things are tweaked here and there, but more than anything was just the terminology that was different.
It's like learning a new language, right?
Yeah, learning that.
Just like it was recently, just watching football on TV, I've heard that too. I think Matthew Stafford was saying, like, it's not, like you said, it's not necessarily learning the plays that's hard. It's relearning the words. Like, you could call something mountain and this could mean something different. Like, That one could be like, we're checking to a pass, and in the pass it means we're running or something like that. Like,
yes.
He's like, that's what's hard, is I have to take a second and be like, no, this doesn't mean this anymore. This means something completely different now.
Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting. So then I guess, like, what happened? You know, when did the Bucks let you go? You said it was after a year and a half, and then mm-hmm. I guess just kind of like, how did that lead into this opportunity to play rugby? So I would assume that kind of came from the clouds, right?
Yeah, it definitely did. So yeah, when I was at the Bucks, man, it was like I said, it was a blessing to even stay there in the first place. Like, I probably shouldn't have been there. Mm. Just by statistics.
Yeah.
You know, I was pretty much a walk-on tryout guy, and my signing bonus was just enough to pay off my last month of rent in Wisconsin. And so it was just kind of like, you know, all these dudes are getting
huge
$500,000, you know, and all of this crazy money. And it's like, here I am, just you little old me doing
that's what you needed to get by, right?
Yeah. Like, so it was just a blessing for me to be there, man. And then what a lot of people don't know is, like, when I went there, my shoulder came out of place. Mm-hmm. My shoulder was coming in and out. And in the league, man, when you get injuries like that, you know, the best, you know, availability is availability, right?
Yeah,
and so if you hurt or anything like
can't
that,
can't make the club in the tub. You're not going to. I've heard that before.
Exactly. That's exactly right, right? And so I was really battling. That was the hardest thing about getting on the team for me, honestly. It wasn't really so much the plays or even the competition as much as it was my body.
Yeah.
You know, my shoulder was really messed up, and I had torn this shoulder before, and so it wasn't nothing new, but it just was really affecting me at a wrong time, right? You know, it's just a bad timing.
Yep.
And so my shoulder was coming in and out throughout camp, and by the Lord's grace, you know, they, you know, he put favor in their eyes for me, and I was fortunate enough to make the team anyway. And they took care of me as far as giving me surgery, and pretty much became my first year was like a red shirt year.
Right. Just
rehabbing healthy, the shoulder, getting healthy and all of that. And then second year, I just ended up making the practice squad, and that was tough because of COVID. We didn't have preseason.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a blessing to even make that because, you know, if you get cut, you don't have – usually, typically, you'd have teams that could also see you, right? Mm-hmm. But no one's ever
– Yeah, there's no
– No
tape,
one got
right?
to see me because I never got to play in the preseason or in the game. And so that made it obviously difficult, you know. But other than that, I was still able to play on the team. And just one day, randomly, man, it was just a phone call, and, you know, they were releasing me. You know, it was – I was shocked.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I had – I felt like I had done everything in my power to control, you know, my performance. And, you know, there certainly wasn't any off-the-field issues or nothing like that. You know, I wasn't – you know, I'm not really – a big night guy or anything, you know. So I don't know, man. It's the way it, you know, the cookie crumbled, and they felt best to go in another direction.
Man, that's tough. But I mean, that sounds like so many other stories that I've heard like that. Like, it's no rhyme or reason. They just wake up one day and decide that that's the direction they're gonna go. So when was that? Like, what point of the season was that?
I don't remember exactly what point of the season. Maybe it was like mid-season because it was like late October, October 20th.
So you're kind of coming up on a year now then.
It was October 20th.
What a tough year too. Like, they won the Super Bowl, you know? So what was it like, I guess? Like, did you get to be around like Brady obviously like comes in? Like, how much did that change things like from the year before?
Yeah, he definitely changed the – I don't know what it is, man. He is just – he's he's very humble and nice guy off the field.
Uh-huh.
You know, very friendly. Very, very friendly. But on the field, he was a general, and you knew it, you know. And I think the team knew that too.
Yeah.
Right? The team kind of gravitated to that, and I think he instilled belief, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that was the difference between the season before and this previous season where they won the Super Bowl was Tom Brady made guys believers, I would say, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So then how did the rugby opportunity come about then?
Yeah, man, exactly what you said. Out of the,
you can move that on the floor. If you
no, it's all right. It's fine there.
Sorry about that.
It's no problem. It was random. I did not plan on coming to Colorado. Yeah. I did not plan on coming to play rugby or anything like that.
Yeah,
to be honest with you. I was working out with a friend of mine, who's actually my roommate now here in Denver. And he had a...
Who is that?
Barlow. Justin Barlow. Yeah.
I have a good picture of Justin Barlow. Makes Mark Bullock look like a little kid.
Yeah, he's like 6'7", 6'8". Yeah, he's super tall. Yeah. He makes me look like a little kid too. He's huge. And so he had a workout actually at a combine. And I guess there were some scouts there. Obviously, there were scouts there. But there were rugby scouts there, and they really took a liking to his athleticism, and they invited him to come work out and try out rugby.
Yeah.
And so he comes back from the camp, and he we're working out together in Tampa, and he's telling me about it, and I'm like, sure, why not try it? And so he basically, mentions my name by word of mouth, and next thing you know, we're both on a flight to Denver.
Nice.
And we try out, and we sign a few contracts. And
nice.
So here we are.
What did you know about rugby before that call?
Nothing.
That's okay. Zero. I think that's okay.
Absolutely not.
I like asking you guys that, and I feel like sometimes people are embarrassed to say that, but that's the whole point of this, right? Is to get guys like you who, you should be doing something. If you still want to and you still have the ability, should be playing a sport. So how have you liked it so far?
It has its challenges. Mm. It's been fun.
Yeah.
But it has its challenges, especially when you have such a standard and you're used to a standard for yourself. Where here, is different because you have to start over and you almost got to kind of create your own standard. Right. And I mean, obviously, there's principles and virtues that you always carry in everything you do in life, whether you play in sports or not. But from the point of execution and skill and craft, maturing in that takes time. And that is the challenge, right?
Right.
Is the challenge. Learning the game, learning the rules of the game, your IQ developing and maturing, all of those things, right?
Yeah.
And so it's been fun, but it's been a challenge as well. I'll be honest, it's been a challenge, but... I'm enjoying it.
That's good.
I'm enjoying it. It's been a good challenge.
What's nothing's worth doing if you're not having a good time doing it, right?
Right.
So, what have you enjoyed specifically about it? Because you were, particularly a defensive guy, right? In the league, and then at Wisconsin, playing corner, or are you playing safety?
Safety. Yes, sir.
So when was the last time you got to consistently carry the ball? Was it in high school?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was in high school.
Are you liking running the ball again? School.
Yeah, I like defense more.
Yeah.
I'm used to it more.
Right.
That's the difference. But I do like the ball as well. I mean, who doesn't like the
ball?
I think
you
it's
get some
fun.
Of these linemen in here. They get to carry the ball. That's what they're all saying.
Yeah, man.
Too.
So I'm adjusting back with it again. Mm-hmm. I got to get back my running back skills.
Yeah. But, it's muscle memory,
fun.
Right? I'm sure it's coming back.
It's fun.
I guess you mentioned a couple of things, but has there been anything just off the top of your head, specifically challenging? I know you said learning the rules. Is there anything else? You're used to, is the work rate, that's all right. You're used to making tackles, obviously. Has been the pads, not wearing pads. Has that been an adjustment at all?
Yeah. I got stitches in my lip the first 2 weeks we started practicing.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that.
I can imagine, yeah.
But,
did you just get, catch your head in your lip? Or
Yeah. And part of it is my fault as well. The technique is different in tackling, And so there's a way to protect yourself in rugby, and that's just something I have to learn.
Yeah,
you know?
That'll just come with, playing more for
right,
sure.
Right.
Has there been a couple of guys that have, really helped you make the switch that have helped you, you know, get up to speed on the team?
Yes. Dom. Oh, yeah. Keanu, Aaron.
Yeah.
Those guys have been, you know, answers of prayers. Yeah. I should say that, you know, because.
I'm sure you've had a couple of moments where you've been like, what am I doing? Like.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like, what's good? What are we even doing out here? Like,
absolutely.
Why am I in Colorado playing rugby right now?
Like, absolutely. I would be lying if I did not ask myself questions like that. Yeah. If I didn't have moments like that.
Yeah. So. That's just human. That's human nature. That's good to hear, though. So, how was Aspen? Like, you know, do you have any like favorite moments from the season so far? Like, do you see yourself maybe getting it a little bit more every week, every day?
Yeah. Aspen was fun. Aspen was cool. That was like my real first experience. Cause, we had a game here, but then I hurt my shoulder. And so I've been nurturing that, trying to get that back and stuff like that. So I missed a few other opportunities to play. So that Aspen weekend was a really good experience for that. Yeah. You know, I got to actually feel it,
experience it,
see it more, you know, actually get tired, you know. Rugby is, it's a humbling game. It's exhausting. But that was a great experience, I would say.
That's good. Are y'all healed up now? Are you good to go moving forward?
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, there's a difference between being injured and hurt. You know, of course you got, you know, your bang ups, you got your you know, pains or whatever that you're dealing with that, you know, that are just kind of like nagging, you know, but that's just sports. That's just ball and anything. Everybody's sore. Everybody's tired. Everybody's hurt, you know, so I'm good enough. As long as I'm good enough, you know, I don't ever remember playing a game 100%.
Yeah, that's right. To be honest with you. Once you get into the camps and stuff, everybody's feeling something, right?
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Dakota, I wanted to ask you one more question before I let you go. And I don't even know if it's a question, but like when I was doing the research on you, I'm sure you've been asked this plenty of times before because I've read stuff about it. But that game against LSU, you get the pick, right? Mm. And then you get nailed late. This is how I knew that you were going to be a good guy and I was going to enjoy talking to you because I read the story. You didn't get mad at that guy that hit you, right?
No.
Yeah, you were like, oh, it's okay. I was like, what? If I got hit like that, it would be like trying to fight this guy. But you were like, no, it's okay. And you became friends with him, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, we were able to talk.
Yeah.
After. He actually called me.
Yeah.
The day after. And I got to talk to him. And we actually ended up praying together, man.
That's cool.
He was going through a lot. He got a lot of hatred.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was.
I feel like when I watch that, I'm like, oh, I feel like I remember seeing this on TV or something. You know,
yeah. That's not the way I pictured catching my first career interception. But
yeah,
it's funny, though.
I guess it's even it more is memorable. Funny.
Yeah, it is. It is for that reason. You know, but I wasn't upset. I mean, it was the number 5 team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just excited, you know, to, you know, be a part of something to help my team, you know, come away with that win. So that was nothing, man. But more impressive than anything was, I think, the fact that he called me and we were able to have a conversation about the whole situation because he was getting blasted on social media, man. Like, he was getting blasted on social media.
Yeah. The more I read about it, it sounded like it really was a genuine mistake. Like, he was saying that he was, like, trying to block and then he saw you after you popped up, like, because you caught it and then slid or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when you popped up, you mean you're celebrating, right? You just sealed the deal. And he was like, oh, this guy still has, like, he's still running. And then, yeah. So that's when I knew. I was like, man, just from the stuff that obviously I've talked to you a couple times just around the facility and stuff, but doing the research and then getting to talk to you now, I do really appreciate, like, the outlook you have on life. And it was a pleasure talking to you today, Dakota. So thank you so much for your time, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course. Looking forward to watching you play the rest of the year.
Yep. Me too.
All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Dakota. I appreciate Dakota for taking the time out of his day to come chat with me for a little bit. It's good getting to know him. He's relatively new around here, so I always like getting to know some of the new guys and hearing what they have to say about rugby and their stories. So appreciate Dakota coming through. Hope everybody enjoyed that. I'll go and jump into the second interview of the episode. And this one is with former Colorado Raptors number 8, Sam Slade, friend of the program. Sam has to be one of the first like 10 interviews I did on this podcast when it launched back in 2020. He was one of my favorite players to watch when he was with the Colorado Raptors. He was a tackling machine. He's had quite the busy time since he left the Raptors, going back to New Zealand. Got his first, couple caps with Manu Samoa. I was watching some of that this summer. I tweeted about it a little bit, so that was cool to see. And it was just good to catch up with him, good to hear what he's been up to and how he's doing and kind of what's going on the other side of the world, which unfortunately does not sound as good. It sounds like COVID is still wrecking the way that they live their lives over there, which is unfortunate. But like I said, it was good talking to Sam. I really did enjoy it, and hope all of you enjoy this conversation with former Colorado Raptors number 8, Sam Slade. All right, now welcome back onto the show, former Raptors number 8, Sam Slade. Sam, how's it going, man?
Yeah, good. Good to see you. Good to speak to you again.
I know,
looking forward to the rest of this episode.
Me too, man. I've chatted with you a little bit online and stuff, but it's good to see you. It's been, man, I don't even know. It feels like 5 years, but it really has not been that long, right? A year and a half?
Yeah, about that. Yeah. Too long. Too long.
That's what COVID does to you. So what have you been up to, man? I know, I was talking to you a little bit in the summer, our summer, I guess. You got a couple of caps for Manu Samoa, so I watched a couple of those matches on the Rugby Network, which was cool. Playing some rugby for counties, but what have you been up to?
Since leaving the Raptors, I've been playing for counties Medico and the NPC. And then this year, I was lucky enough to make my debut for Manu Samoa and got to play a couple of tests against Tonga and Māori All Blacks, which was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah.
But now I'm just kind of sitting on my bum, just waiting for this lockdown in New Zealand to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did that lockdown start?
I think it was about 7 weeks ago now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's the rules? Yeah. What are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do?
And so right now where I am in Auckland, we're at level 3, which is kind of the second worst tier of our kind of lockdown levels. So level 3, we're allowed to train in socially distanced bubbles. And so no contact or no passing or anything, just kind of gym sessions and running blocks. And then you have to kind of just stick to your same household and stuff like that. So yeah, I just feel like I'm in prison, really.
That's different, man. I went to New York like 3 weeks ago to go to a football game. I literally flew across the country to go sit in a stadium with 85,000 people. that's some
crazy.
Different stuff, man. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about your caps with Manu Samoa. Was that kind of everything you envisioned it to be? Did you get to kind of take in the moment a little bit at least?
Well, leading into it, I wasn't sure like if I was going to be in the team or that I was even on the radar to making the team.
Yeah.
And I actually got the phone call from the head coach that I'd made the team when I was at work, just delivering some buckets. I got a phone call, so that was pretty buzzy. But to actually play for Manu Samoa was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah.
I didn't come from a traditional kind of Samoan household, so I wasn't surrounded by the language that much or anything like that. But once going into camp, it was kind of just full immersion, kind of culture shock, which was pretty cool. And to play international footy, which was a pretty good experience. And hopefully I get a couple more under my belt.
Yeah, sky's the limit, man. You got a lot of rugby in front of you, so that's cool. And hopefully we get to keep watching it over here in the States. I wanted to ask, what was your trek back home like? Like, if you can think all the way back to whatever, March 2020. It was pretty sudden, if I remember correctly. It was like, I remember being around you guys, and it was, the season was postponed for a month. And then a week later, it was like, well, it's canceled. And then I remember all the New Zealand fellas had to get on a plane and get out of there.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I just remember the NBA kind of they were the first kind of major sport to kind of put things on hold.
Yeah.
And so we had that week of just kind of being in limbo, not really knowing what's going to happen. And then when we got the news the season had been canned, the rest of the kind of New Zealand boys just got out as soon as possible. Right. I think Pete Borlase, he hooked it up with some flights and he just got us on the first one out of there. I remember Marco and I had to catch the same flight and we were just, we didn't know what was happening. We just wanted to get back home to our families.
What was the airport like? Was it crazy or was there nobody there?
It wasn't too bad because it was still quite fresh. Like,
yeah,
I think people were still kind of not sure what was happening.
Yeah.
It was before all the kind of toilet paper buying and stuff like that. It wasn't too bad.
It gives me like PTSD thinking about that. I know. I remember talking to Luke because I think he flew to Boston. And he was like, oh, it's crazy, man. I've never seen an airport this empty. Like, I went to the airport at like 6 p.m. on a Tuesday and there's just nobody there.
Yeah.
So that's wild stuff.
Does that, eh?
So how'd you like your time in Colorado, all things considered? I know it was short, but you got to play a little bit of rugby here. You got to – it sucks because you weren't here for the time that it's nice. Like, you were here for the time that it was bitterly cold, and I feel like that year was especially cold.
I really enjoyed it, eh? It was the first time I'd been to the snow, and so I didn't mind being in the kind of depths of snow. And I remember walking to training and just full on just slipping over, just falling on my ass, just because I wasn't used to the dry ice.
The ice will get you, man.
I really enjoyed playing with the players and being a part of the organization. I just wish I got to stay for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Travel the States a bit more. But I took a lot of confidence coming from the Raptors. I enjoyed kind of getting some game time under my belt, playing in a new environment. Hopefully I can come back to the States at some point.
Yeah. For sure, man. I was gonna tell you, I got an extra bedroom. So if you make it through Denver again, you got a place to stay. You were rolling, man. You're having a good season. You had to be up there in tackles. I remember after that first week, the stats that I had access to, I think you had like 18 after the first match. So yeah, you were playing well. You were one of my favorite players to watch when you were here. And I really think you guys were about to like really start getting it going too. Like that last match against Toronto, it was just like, it felt like high school football here, honestly. Like, it was a Friday night game. We had undefeated Arrows coming in and went all the way down to the wire. Really felt like you guys were about to start rolling. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, that's what I felt as well. Felt like we were on a curve and we were just about to kind of hit our potential. But, yeah, a bit annoying about that. But I think we definitely had some good rugby ahead of us.
Right. What did you think about the competition in the MLR, like overall?
I thought it was a good level. There's a good mix of international and local players. And the local players, even from the short time that I was there, you could see how much growth they were doing, kind of just learning off the kind of international players. Uh-huh. I really enjoyed it. And the physicality, it took a little while to get used to because you find that once you come from New Zealand to the States, the Americans, they love a good gym more than a New Zealander would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that took some getting used to.
I've heard that. That's interesting, though. And I can imagine, like, I mean, as MLR and rugby continues to grow here, I'm sure you got asked a couple of questions when you got home, right, about the level of competition. And so people are paying attention there, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think the profile is definitely building. I know a lot of fellow New Zealanders who've asked me about it and have made the move over already or thinking about making the move over. So, yeah, I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yeah, I think so too. So I know you said you're interested in making it back over to States. Is there any thoughts about coming back for another MLR season? I know I saw a couple of guys scattered around the league from that Raptors team that made the trip back over.
Yeah. I'm not sure what I'm up to next year.
Yeah.
Still kind of just seeing what's out there, really. But I wouldn't say no, to be honest. I really enjoyed my time over there, and
yeah,
because it was so short, I feel like I've got some unfinished business over there as well.
For sure, yeah.
So who knows?
It was a drop in the bucket, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Do you still keep in touch with any of those Raptors guys? Have you talked to any of those guys?
Yeah, I still keep in contact with like Carlo,
yeah,
and like Marco, and yeah, I keep in contact with a lot of them. We're still quite active on social media, which is good to see a lot of them still kind of playing well and
yeah,
just doing really good.
Yeah, doing that thing. I'm surprised I never got Marco to say any words to me. So that's interesting that you keep in touch with him, because I never got him to speak to me. I drove him around one day too.
He takes a while.
He's a quiet fella.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, Sam, have you kept up at all with like the new direction, I guess, with the Raptors? Like, have you seen what they've been doing, the whole crossover project? I know that there's a documentary showing on ESPN down there. I wonder if you caught any of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the documentary, but
it's called
Rugby
Keeping Up
Town,
if you want to look it up. If you look closely enough, you see me in a couple of scenes.
I might watch that after this.
Yeah.
But I've been keeping up on social media, which is, it looks really good. A lot of supreme athletes look like they're out for the Raptors right now. And I guess it's pretty exciting for American rugby as a whole to have that kind of hub of just athletes trying to become kind of rugby players, which is good.
What I guess, like, if you were to give some advice to somebody starting rugby, like at your age, pretty much, like, what would you say off the top of your head?
I think I'd just say just be a sponge in the sense of just watching and trying to learn as much as you can. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to watch just highlights, just not really the fundamentals, which is probably a bad thing, but I just used to watch highlights of kind of Jonah Lomu, and I quite liked Jerry Collins and Victor Matfield as well. And so I just say be a student of the game and don't stop learning.
Yeah, that's good advice. I was going to say, you want to talk about some guys that like the gym, man. These guys can move some weight around, I'm telling you. And it has been pretty cool, man. Like, they have picked it up pretty quick. And I think at the numbers now, like, up to, like, 7 guys who made the MLR just after, you know, 3 or 4 months of training, they got a little bit of a run in the MLR. So that was pretty cool to see. I'm interested to see how it goes moving forward. But, like I said, you could watch it at the documentary. There's no distribution deal in the United States, so you – I haven't even seen. I watched the first episode, so you have the chance down there in New Zealand. I think it's on ESPN.
Okay.
So I don't know how it goes, but it's called Rugby Town. So you'll see some familiar faces in there for sure. I know. Like, I guess my next question was going to be, what do you have, going on the next couple of months? But it kind of sounds like you're just waiting this lockout out or this lockdown out. When is that supposed to end? Is there like a rough date in mind or?
Well, today we actually got the worst possible news. All the teams in Auckland, the 3 teams in Auckland, they've been left out of the NPC competition because Auckland's the only city that's still in level 3. And so everywhere else in the country, their lockdown levels have kind of they've eased a little bit, and so they're allowed to play without crowds. And so today we got told our season's over, so I'm just going to be running and stuff here.
Well, you got some time to kill it, man. That sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. That is brutal.
So good. It is what it is.
One of these days, we're going to be through this mess. One of these days, man.
One day.
Yeah. Well, Sam, that's all the questions I had for you, man. Short and sweet. It's good to catch up with you. Like I said, next time you make it over to the States, I got an extra bedroom for you, so just hit me up.
Okay, thanks for that. It was good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you
and
too,
Sam. I watched that Rugby Town thing
now. Yeah, let me know what you think, and I'll be in touch. All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Sam Slade. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Dakota Dixon as well. I like doing the double interviews. It is a lot of work. It does make for a busy week, but it's good chatting with both of those guys. So I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did. We'll go ahead and jump into the next part of the show. That's required reading. Found a cool piece in the Undefeated. You know, that's managed, run by ESPN, theundefeated.com. It's titled "Two Black Rugby Stars Aim to Showcase Their Skills and the Game to America" by Brando Simeo Starkey. And the story focuses on Nia Tapper and Perry Baker and the role they're playing in launching this PR Sevens League and bringing more popularity to rugby in America as they get set, you know, for their first championship event in Memphis this weekend. So I like this article. I thought it was really good. It was a good way to get to know Perry and Nia a little bit and talk about the role that they have in this league and stuff. And as they kind of bring it to a new audience, as that's the goal at least. So really enjoyed reading it. It's cool to see it published in a publication like The Undefeated as well. And that's some big time stuff. And that's just more exposure for rugby, which is obviously the goal of everything that we do, is trying to grow the game. So like always, I will link the article in the article that houses this podcast. I'll also put it in the podcast description. So if you are interested, all you have to do is just scroll down on your phone, scroll down on your computer, visit the dnvr.com/dnvrrugby or whatever it is. I don't know my URL off the top of my head. I don't know if that's good or not, but I'll make it nice and easy for you to find if you're interested in checking it out. We'll go ahead and close the show with The Loop. Make sure to keep up with everything we've got going on at DNVR Rugby by following us on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby and at Colton Strickler. Check out the rest of our coverage on the DNVR.com. All the rugby stuff's free, which is awesome. And if you like it enough, we hope you subscribe. That's my show for the week. I hope everybody had a great week. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy all the rugby this weekend. And I will catch you all back here next week.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.